Welcome to our Kingdom Culture podcast. For today's message, we are thankful for what God is doing through this podcast to encourage and transform lives around the world. If you have a story to share about how God has encouraged or transformed your life through this podcast, we would love to hear about it by emailing us at mystory@kingdomculture.ca. If you would like to support this ministry financially to help us bring messages like this to you every week, you can do so online at kingdomculture.ca at the Give option. We also would love to connect with you on our social media, on Instagram and Twitter at KC Ottawa, and Facebook at Facebook/Kingdom Culture Ottawa. We pray that you would experience God today and be encouraged through today's message. Enjoy!
We are in a new series starting last week that we're continuing this week, moving into, I believe, a very important Sunday in June, our Vision Sunday, which I would say mark your calendars for June 14th. You're going to want to be in the room. It's not the same when you're not in the room. It's not the same watching it after the fact, but to be in the room June 14th, I believe God is preparing us in such a way, and we are in this season, in this series, called Establish, Developing a Kingdom Culture. How many believe it's God's design for you to live out a culture of the kingdom in every area of your life? It is. It's designed for you. Yes, our church is called that. The ministry here is called that. But there's something really powerful when you live that out and you understand the dynamics of that. How does the kingdom permeate every part of your personal culture, your personal world? How does it look like in your marriage, in your parenting, in your finances, in your career, in your everyday? What does that look like? And the reason why we're the sort of the tag of this Established series is developing a kingdom culture is because we're going backwards a little bit back to 2024 of November, where we started, which wasn't really a series. It was more of like an era of time where we were talking about the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. You know, we talked about this, that in the first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, excluding John, which we call the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, because of their synergistic qualities and how they often re-reference the same stories in different ways. We call them the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The most common message that Jesus came to bring was not a message of love, but a message of the kingdom. There are over 137 references to the kingdom in the New Testament alone, and 100 just alone in the ministry of Jesus. It was the most predominant thing on his lips as it pertains to his messaging. And so we spent from 2024 of the fall all the way into, I don't know, like most of the year talking about kingdom, kingdom. And we're continuing on that track a little bit. Not that we take breaks from it, but we're continuing with a more focused, focus in this series called Establish. And so I'm really praying that you get something from this. And this came from an encounter that I had in the end of October and the beginning of November, an encounter that I had in the night where God began to speak to me about a new era of the kingdom being restored back to the church as it pertains to the understanding of the most important message that Jesus came to bring, and that was the message of the kingdom. It is the essential thing. To miss this message of the kingdom is to miss Jesus altogether. Remember, Jesus was the doorway, was the physical representation of the kingdom on earth. He was the as it is in heaven. That as you see me, you're seeing heaven. As you see me, you see the Father. I and the Father are one. I am the exact representation of the Father. And the Father, to look at the Father, is to look at the kingdom in all its splendor, wonder, beauty. Because the Father is the representation of the kingdom. So Jesus was the bridge to show the earth what the kingdom looks like. The as it is in heaven. And I believe, like Matt said, I believe for some of you in this room, you are in 2026, you're reinventing yourself. You're in a reinvention season. You're in a restart season. You're in a restore season. Some of you are in a reset season where God is establishing you. You've been maybe kind of you know, here and there, you've been up and down everywhere, you've been transplanted everywhere. I believe in 2026, there is an establishing happening, and it just may be the hardest year you've ever been through and ever faced. But the hardest of years always bring the promise of the greatest harvests. And so know this, that when you face the hard, there's always a harvest, a great harvest on the other side of that hard. But a lot of people, like I said last week, stand in front of their field of what could be the greatest harvest of their life. And because all they see is death, all they see is hard ground, all they see is no fruit, they walk away from their field prematurely and miss the harvest. There's our kingdom culture moth. You see that? I don't know what it is. There's always a moth in here. The demonic butterflies, that's what I call them. But I believe your harvest is, like, if you can move through the hard, you will move into the harvest. I was saying this earlier, like, when people get baptized or when they make a big decision and they trust God for the first time, hell breaks loose in their life. That is where their faith is tested. Are you legit? Are you so legit that you won't quit? Only some of you got that one. But how real is your faith? Because your faith is only made real and proven genuine when you're tested. And you're tested usually when you make big decisions to trust God for the first time. I'm going to trust God with my career, and all of a sudden your career blows up and there's friction in your job and your manager stops liking you, and you feel like you're not favored anymore like you were, or you feel like you've trusted God with your finances for the first time, and then all of a sudden your finances blow up and you're like, God, is this what trust looks like? No, it's not what trust is supposed to look like. What trust is supposed to look like is that when it does get hard, you keep on trusting. And that when there are lean seasons in your life and you're looking at that field that's dry, dead, no life, you still stand strong because you've been established in the word that God has given you. You don't move. And like Paul said in Galatians, if you keep doing good, even when it's hard, there will be a harvest. He says, don't be weary in doing good, because in due time there will be a harvest. I want to look at a truth and or a concept that I've been coming back to since last summer, yet I've never shared this. Last summer, there was this theme that kept coming back to me. And, you know, I never, it wasn't something I ever shared from the platform. I didn't talk about it, didn't teach on it. But something that I've been brewing on. There are things that God will speak to me in, like, a year, 2 years ago, or, you know, in previous months that I'll write down, and I just, you know, I'll process it. And I know that maybe it's for a future time. And I feel like it's that time for me to share this word that I've been stewing or brewing with for or sitting with since last summer. And it's the context of Moses, who leads the Israelites out of slavery, over 400 years of slavery, leads them out of Egypt into a promised land. That's the goal anyways, but ends up leading them into a wilderness. They ended up, you know, of course, walking around for 40 years, dying. A whole generation died in the wilderness. And as he's leading them in the wilderness, comes a moment where God's like, okay, I got to give you some rules. I got to give you some regulations. I got to give you a blueprint on how to be healthy while you're navigating this wilderness pre-promised land season. And what I give you in the wilderness season is actually going to carry on for quite some time until one day a Messiah comes and flips the whole script. But for now, I'm going to give you some temporary rules, regulations, laws that will help govern the people so they're healthy. And it says in Exodus chapter 25, you can go there if you want to, or you can read the screen with me. Exodus chapter 25. And this is the context of not only is God giving Moses on a mountain instructions, the law, he's also giving Moses instructions about how to build a temporary mobile church or tabernacle for the wilderness that's going to one day be then rebuilt permanently in Jerusalem. as a permanent fixture, as a representation of the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Because that was the goal. Everything in the tabernacle that would one day be in the first temple of Solomon would be a reflection of heaven. You know that everything you're called to build in this life is to be a reflection of heaven. Did you hear that? Your accounting business, your role in the government, your construction business, your landscape business, your real estate business, everything that you do is to be a reflection in some way of heaven. Your home, your mothering, your grandmothering, your grandfathering, whatever it is that you feel like is your main role in focus right now, is to somehow reflect heaven, to be a copy and a shadow of the eternal. So God's giving Moses instruction. He's on a mountain. The mountain speaks of a higher elevation, a higher way of seeing, a higher perspective, relationship with God. God speaks to us on the mountain in a high place, getting away from everybody else. Moses goes up onto the mountain, says to the Israelites, guys, I'm going to be gone for a little bit. I don't know how long I'm going to be gone for, but hold tight. I'm going to bring back down the mountain some instruction that's going to help us walk this walk that we're called to walk. So hold tight. He goes up on the mountain. Clouds around the mountain, thunders around the mountain. The people can't even go close to the mountain. It's so holy. He goes into the mountain, into the cloud, and God begins to speak to him. He's there for 40 days and 40 nights, and he's fasting. 40 days, 40 nights. And in that time, the people get a little discouraged, but in that time on the mountain, God gives them, and the Bible says this, the finger of God writes down the instructions on tablets. The back and the front of them. Imagine that. Imagine being in that place. What a crazy moment, eh? The finger of God. You're in this like holy. We've been singing about the holiness of God. You're in the mountain of God. He's giving you instruction. He's writing down the instruction, so there's no way you can forget it. It says in Exodus 25:8. This is God speaking to Moses, talking about the temporary sanctuary that one will one day be the temple. In Jerusalem, it says, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them according, listen to this, to all that I show you. That is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so you shall make it. What he's saying there is like, listen to my instruction, do what I tell you to do. And don't just do what I tell you to do, do how I tell you to do it. Because here's the thing. You can do what God tells you to do. God says to you, okay, I want you to start this business. You start the business. But did you start the business the way that he wanted you to start the business? Did you build the business the way that he asked you to do it? God said to Moses two separate times to strike the rock first time he said, strike the rock and water will come out of it and it will feed the thirst of Israel because they were thirsty. There was no water. Supernatural miracle. Moses strikes the rock, water comes out. A second time around, in the same situation, same circumstance, the people are complaining, they're thirsty, no water, and God says, I want you to speak to the rock. And instead, because he was used to striking the rock with his staff, he struck the rock, didn't speak to it, water still came out, the same exact outcome, but God said, because you didn't do it how I told you to do it, you will not be the one to lead the people into the promised land. What that says to me is that the how is more important than the outcome. The how you approach life is way more important than what you get out of life. Even if what you got out of life came from doing it the right way one time, it doesn't mean that you're supposed to do it the same way another time. Moses literally was kicked out. He was kicked out of his ability to fulfill his destiny that was promised to him because of disobedience to the how, the methodology. So God cares not about if you get the outcome or you get the harvest at the end of the day. It's how did you do it? One person can steal to get money. Another person can work hard to get money. Who do you think God's going to honor more? The working hard, same outcome, same harvest, but different how. God cares about the how. He cares about how you go about it. God said to Moses, I want you to build a tabernacle, but I want you to build it according to the pattern that I lay out for you. At the end of this chapter, in Exodus chapter 25, verse 40, at the end of that same chapter, it says this, and see to it that you make them everything. So all the furnishings that are going to be inside the tabernacle. So let's say we're making speakers, we're making a drum set, you know, we're doing all the things. We're making all the things that are going to be in the temple, in the tabernacle. He said, make sure you make them according to, everyone say according to. I want you to remember this phrase. Am I building what I'm building in my marriage, in my relationships, in my business, according to God's pattern or according to the world's pattern? According to my pattern. I want you to make them according to the pattern which was shown you where? On the mountain, in that intimate place with me, what I showed you, how I showed you to do it, I want you to build according to what you saw. I want to talk today about building according to the pattern. I hope this theme echoes into your next chapter or your next season of life strong. Because there are things that you're called to build starting in 2026 or start or keep on building that you've already started in a previous season that you need to recalibrate and build according to. Because in a previous season, you build according to you. In this season of your life, you're building according to Him. The outcome may look similar at times, but God cares about how you get there. Because how you get there determines how long you stay where you're called to go. If you build through, you know, corrupt ways, corrupt paths, crooked paths, you won't sustain the breakthrough. You won't sustain the outcome that you come into. You won't sustain the harvest. But if you build according to His way, you'll build the character you need to sustain the outcome, to sustain the harvest that He puts in your hand. Are you hearing this morning? So build according to the pattern. What's the pattern? The pattern of the kingdom. The pattern of the kingdom. What is the pattern of the kingdom? We're going to talk about this a little bit, but I want to ask you, I want you to think about this thought for a second. Like, what am I building in this season? Like, in any area of your life, what are you building? What kind of life are you building? How are you building? Are you building your own thing? Sometimes we build our own thing because we feel the delay. Like, there's a delay. Like, things aren't moving quick, so we get frustrated, so we're just going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do... And I'm not saying don't try things. But sometimes we end up building our own thing and not God's thing. Just because it's a good thing doesn't mean it's a God thing. There's lots of good opportunity, but not everything is a God opportunity. And you got to know to discern the difference. You can meet someone good who could be a good spouse, a good wife, a good man, a good husband, but will they be a great husband? Will they be a great spouse, a great wife? Is this a good job or is this a great job for me? And we need to learn to discern the difference just because there's delay. Now, there's a verse in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21. I don't know if you have it. We have it. It was in the beginning. Yeah. Out of the New Living Translation says, you can make many plans, but guess what? Your plans are useless at the end of the day. Because when you surrender your life to God, you can make many plans, but God literally will armbar you at a certain point in your own plan and let you know, at the end of the day, my plan's going to prevail. So why not start with the premise of, God, I want your plan? Because you will make many plans, but it's always the Lord's plans that will prevail in the end. I want the prevailing plans. How about you? I've tried a lot of things, I've done a lot of things, and I'm thankful for the lessons I've learned, but one of the greatest lessons I've learned is the areas in my own plans where I've not included God the way that I should have. Or I did not trust my own gut sense of what God was telling me along the journey. Have you ever experienced that? We're talking about engineering the kingdom way. God wants to make you a kingdom engineer, where you engineer your life the kingdom way. And I've been wrestling with this thought, especially the last 3 months. It kind of started with me last summer, but I've been wrestling with this thought, like, God, what are the areas of my life that I've not built according to your pattern, that are not reflecting the eternal? What are the areas of my life? God, reveal to me what the areas, because this was Moses' command, to build according to the pattern shown you in the presence of God. What has God shown you? God, what are you saying? Like, how do we build? And these words that are hitting me in this season, there's two words that are kind of coming to me in this season that have to do with what I'm saying, and it's principles and patterns. Principles and patterns. Because the principles we live by guide the patterns that we build from. So either you have kingdom principles or you have worldly principles. There's no other option. Worldly principles are motivated and influenced by darkness, often evil to some degree. But kingdom principles are motivated by God's patterns, heaven, eternity. What kind of principles are leading your life right now? Because the principles you live by guide the patterns that you build from. Do I need to say that again? And at the end of the day, we want his presence and his power to guide our principles and to motivate our patterns. We often say things like, you know, the presence of God. What is the presence of God? The presence of God is the awareness of what reflects him. Simple definition. An awareness in you of what is reflecting the nature of who he says he was and is in Scripture. It's a reflection of heaven on earth. It's Matthew 6. My kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Reflecting the kingdom. That's what his presence is at the end of the day. It reflects all that he says he is and all that he says he will be. Sounds like we're quiet in this room this morning. The kingdom of God is the very presence of God. And God has a pattern for you to build from in this season, in your marriage. Think about that for a second. What does it look like? What's God's pattern for your marriage? What's God's pattern for your relationships? What's God's pattern for your parenting? What's God's pattern for your career? What's God's pattern for your finances, your everyday personal life? I've shared this story in the past. I remember this story that always just inspired me, encouraged me. This individual came from South Korea years ago, and they moved to L.A. with big dreams, big hopes, and they didn't even have enough money to put gas in the car. There was no money. They didn't know how they were going to start the business and the dreams that they felt were in their heart. And they made a decision to get up every morning from 4 o'clock in the morning to 9 a.m. and pray for 5 hours a day every day. Now, that's how they were going to conduct their business. God said to them, obviously, build according to the pattern. And the pattern that I want you to build from is that you're going to build this business on prayer. And so I don't know how long this went on for. I know this because I have a friend that is a personal friend with this couple in L.A., and I don't know how long it took, but eventually they made and built a multi-billion dollar business. It was called Forever 21. I don't know if you remember that store. Multi-billion dollar business. How was it built? Through prayer. Build according to the pattern. What is the pattern for you? Because we think of it like, okay, build the business according to the pattern of the Instagram business gurus. Build our business according to the way that all the successful business people build their businesses. Build our businesses by sales tactics and manipulation and all these things. And we build. God's saying to you, no, how are you building what I've called you to build my way? Because my way is always the best way. That's why he's called Yahweh. But here's the thing. In a culture where we want everything yesterday, we end up building something that is not always honorable to God, but is often honorable to us. And we don't do it God's way. Back to our passage, he says, see to it, in 25 verse 40, Exodus, that you make them according to the pattern which was shown to you on the mountain. So again, ask yourself, what areas am I not building according to the pattern? Maybe you feel like God hasn't shown you. But my question is, have you gone up to the mountain? Have you gone up to the metaphorical mountain, taken time privately to seek God for what your next steps are? Paul said to the believers at Rome, don't forget what pattern to conform to build your life on. In Romans chapter 12, he says, therefore, I urge you, brothers, sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. He says in verse 2, do not conform to the what? The pattern, because there is a pattern of the world and there is a pattern of God. There's a pattern of the kingdom. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. So what areas have we been conforming to the pattern of this world? Man, there's things that I've tried in the past. I remember, if I could just do this, it worked for this guy. It worked for this girl. If I could just do what they did, I'll get the same result. Unfortunately, because I've surrendered my life to God, it's not that easy. God will not allow me just to copy and paste someone else's journey onto mine. God, what is my pattern? How do you want me to build? What's going to be my testimony? Not their testimony. What's going to be my testimony? You know, I've shared this in the past, and people in the past have said this to me, and you know, I'll share my journey about, you know, when I gave my life to Jesus the first 6 months, I spent 4 to 8 hours a day, every day, studying the Word, learning how to pray, learning how to worship, then going to the street, going to the club, going to the bar, sharing my story. And oftentimes people would tell me, like, that's intimidating to people. You shouldn't share that. That might intimidate them. And I get that. It might make people feel like, well, I can't do that. I'm not in that kind of a season. And I don't share that to intimidate people. I share that to say, hey, this was my journey. It may inspire some people. A testimony may inspire some people. But that's like saying, don't share that you were healed of cancer, because with some people that haven't been healed of cancer in the room, that could be intimidating. What if, you know, I'm healed supernaturally of cancer and I share a testimony about my healing and someone else has cancer in the room and they're not going to maybe be healed by a miracle. They're going to, you know, go through radiation, go through chemotherapy, and it's not their journey. So maybe you shouldn't share the story of how you were healed, because it might make them feel like, well, why can't I be healed the same way that he was healed? It's not about comparing. It's about your own journey. It's about your own pattern. God had a pattern for me. God knew I needed that season to build and develop the kingdom principles that I needed so that I can develop the patterns to build from. And that was, you know, prayer at the foundation, seeking God at the foundation, being all in at the foundation. He says, don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So to not conform is to enable yourself for transformation. To not to conform to one thing means to conform to another. In this context, be transformed by the renewing of your mind from a kingdom perspective. That's where I want you to go, because you're either going to be conformed to the world or me. You have two options. There's no in between. Purgatory doesn't exist. Sorry to all the Catholics out there. Purgatory does not exist. There's no in between. There's no floating around waiting. Really black and white. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. To not conform to the pattern of this world, but to conform and find his pattern allows you, enables you to actually know what the will of God is for your life. So for the Israelites, go back to Exodus for a second. The Israelites, the delay is what got them. The impatience got them. It deceived them. The frustration took over. If you go to Exodus chapter 32, I'm going to share a little bit of the story here. Then I'm going to read a few verses. But Exodus chapter 32, Moses, God actually says to Moses, okay, we have to stop this. It's 40 days now. You need to go back down to the mountain, because now the people are doing some crazy stuff down there. They were getting frustrated. They were, you know, you were 40 days. They didn't know how long, if you were ever going to come back. They didn't trust the word of God. The delay got them. The frustration got them. The impatience got them. Now they convinced Aaron to, like, get all their gold and silver and bronze and make a golden cow. And let's go, we're going to worship a cow. And we're going to declare that the cow is who delivered us out of Egypt. Like, yeah, that's how much impatience can blind you. That's how much disconnection can blind you. This is the part of the reason why so much deconstruction of people's faith happened in the pandemic, because they got so weird, because they got so disconnected from community. The delay got them. The delay of connection got them. Doubting everything. Everything that they'd ever experienced, now all of a sudden they doubted, and it was clouded by their hurt, their pain, and all they could see was the negative. They got delayed in their connection, isolated. This is what happened to the Israelites. Like, they were with Moses a second ago, well, 40 days ago, and they were all in to trust him. He was the guy that got them out of there. He was the guy that parted the Red Sea. I mean, imagine, you see all this stuff, you experience all this stuff, 40 days goes by, your impatience kicks in, you're like, well, maybe the best thing to do is worship a cow and believe that the cow is what actually brought us out of Egypt. How do you get so deceived? Impatience. Impatience is a great deceiver. Remember Abraham and Sarai? Remember this? Sarah got impatient. The promise wasn't coming. So she's like, hey, Abraham, go sleep with my servant girl, Hagar, and then we'll, like, fulfill the promise that God gave us. That wasn't the pattern. That wasn't the way. Now we have Islam taking over the world because of Ishmael. Well, go there for a second. That wasn't the way. Isaac was the promise, not Ishmael. Isaac was the promised son. But they didn't wait. They got impatient, and impatience deceived them. So now watch this. Exodus chapter 32, verse 1. Now when the people saw that Moses was delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered to Aaron and said to him, come, make us gods that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. Like, 40 days isn't that long, is it? We were in a pandemic for how long? That word makes me cringe even saying that word now. It's like a cringe word, pandemic. COVID makes me cringe. It's a word we just don't want to say anymore. But it was a long time for us. We were 100 Sundays online. That's a long time. 100 Sundays online. That's a long time. I mean, this venue was like one of the most shut down venues in all of Canada. Even if we wanted to meet illegally, we wouldn't have had a building. We couldn't find a building to meet illegally. And I would have been totally down, just so you know. So here, now when people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together. Aaron said, come make us gods that shall go before us. As for this Moses, we don't know what has become of him. Verse 2. And Aaron said to them, break off. Now Aaron was like Moses' guy. Moses was mentoring Joshua, but Aaron was like his second hand. Aaron was like his second hand. Moses, when he went to the mountain, said, Aaron, I give you the charge. Like, you're in charge of everybody while I'm gone. Failed leadership on every front. But verse 2, and Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings, which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me. So all the people broke off the golden earrings, which were in the ears, and brought them to Aaron. That's a lot of earrings. Imagine that. You make a cow, it's a lot of earrings. It's like lots of people gathering all the earrings. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool and made a molded calf. Then they said, listen to this, then they said, the people, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. How do you go from the God who used Moses to bring us out of slavery over 400 years to now the cow is worth worship? Here's the reality. I'll tell you something very, very important. Because in the design of humanity, we were created to worship something. So we will either be worshiping God or a false idol. That false idol could be sex, it could be drugs, it could be some addiction, greed, money, women, crime, whatever it is that consumes you is what you worship. It's your false idol. So either you're going to worship God or you're going to worship a false idol. You can become your own false idol. You worship you. You live for you. Self-seeking, selfishness. Mankind was created to worship. So they're like, we don't know who to worship now. We don't have a leader because in that time, you know, God had instituted leaders to act as the mediator between heaven and earth. Moses was chosen, right? So if we don't have Moses, we don't have God, but we need to worship something. So let's make something to worship. It just shows you the humanity, the depravity of humanity, but also shows you the design. Listen to this. The greatest cause of compromise to what we are building, listen to this, is impatience. Is impatience. I have been tempted to throw in the towel many times on the altar of struggling with impatience because we have not got a building. I'm saying I've been tempted. To stand up here and tell you like I've never been tempted would be to lie. Because, man, like it's been 13 years, not 13 years, it's been 11, going on 11 years now. We started with a building, we lost our building and never got a building again. Now we're in Cineplex. God bless Cineplex. But impatience is a blinder all the time to seeing the patterns of God. If I let my impatience lead me, I'm not going to see what God has for me. If you let your impatience lead you and start to make moves that aren't God, you're going to end up in a situation that you don't want to be in. It could be in any area of your life. God's given you a promise. What's that promise? It's not happening the way that you thought it was going to happen. Maybe it's going to happen another way, but don't take matters into your own hands and build according to your pattern because it actually won't work out for you. The challenge for a lot of us in this room, though, is how do we find the pattern? How do we hear? How do we see? God said to Peter, Jesus said to Peter, God said to Peter through Jesus, Matthew 16, verse 18, Peter has this revelation that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the Word made flesh. He is the God that's come down in flesh, in body. He is the Messiah. And Jesus looks at Peter when he has this acknowledgement, this revelation, and says to him in verse 18, "And I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell, the gates of Hades, shall not prevail against it." Upon this rock, that word literally, upon this revelation, upon this pattern-revealing revelation, I'm going to build my church. Who's going to build the church? Yeah, some say Peter, but it's not Peter. Peter was an instrument to facilitate helping launch the church in Acts chapter 2. But at the end of the day, who builds the church? Who has the pattern? Who is the foundation? Who is the blueprint? Who is the eternal one? Who are we seeking after? Upon that revelation of me, I will build. And I'm asking you and inviting you into a process to find that pattern. Psalms chapter 127, verse 1 says this, "Unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good." In other words, at the end of the day, when we don't have the right things in place, the main things in place, the main thing in place, which is Him first, as the foundation, the cornerstone for everything, we end up losing. You might feel like you win temporarily, but you don't win eternally. You might win something temporarily, but you don't win eternally. Listen, I'm not living for temporary as a believer in Jesus. I'm living for eternity. Everything I do is being clocked, is being invested into my spiritual dividend in eternity. That will be given back to me in eternity. You know that in heaven, there are levels. There are levels. I don't want to be the guy that's in the low level in heaven. I mean, we're with God, great. But I want to hear the words, good job, good and faithful servant. Like, you did what I wanted you to do with what I gave you. You didn't squander it. You didn't waste it. You didn't worship self. You didn't worship a false idol. You made me first. First commandment, let there be no other God before me. What were they first tempted with? To make a cow before him. What's first? What's first is important because what's first actually guides what's second. If he is first, that means you'll build according to his pattern. If you are first, you'll build according to your pattern. What's first in life will guide what comes second. I'll sip to that. Listen to this. Paul said to the Corinthians regarding the importance of how you start building and the foundation you build on. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. Listen to what it says out of the Message translation. Or to put it another way, you are God's house, using the gift God gave me as a good architect. This is Paul talking, Paul the apostle, okay? He's addressing the fact that everybody has different roles in building, but the same foundation, the same rock of revelation we build from. He said, I designed blueprints. Apollos, which is another guy that was preaching the gospel, is putting up the walls. Let each carpenter who comes in on the job take care to build on the foundation. So we all have the same foundation. You may build the walls, I may design the blueprints, but the foundation is the same. What we build on and from is the same. Remember, the patterns are what we build a life from and on. Remember, there's only one foundation, the one already laid, Jesus Christ. Take particular care in picking out your building materials. Eventually, there's going to be an inspection. What you build in life will be inspected. Let me tell you how it's inspected. You build a career. You build a business. You build it on greed, worship of money, worship of self. The foundation's cracked. Foundation isn't Christ. You don't have good character. You don't have a good integrity. Storms of life come. Adultery hits your relationship. Divorce hits your relationship. Everything crumbles. Why does it crumble? Because what it was built on was not God. It was on you. And so when you crumble, everything you built crumbles with it. But when things are built on God, when you crumble, God still remains the foundation and the builder. Do you hear that? Whatever you build with you, when you crumble, everything you build crumbles. What you build with God, when you crumble, God gets more glory because the thing that it was built wasn't built by your hands, was built by his hands, and it stays standing. It's called the unshakable kingdom. Some of you are getting this. Eventually, there's going to be an inspection. If you use cheap or inferior materials, you'll be found out. Like your how. How did you build what I've called you to build? What materials did you use? You'll be found out. The inspection will be thorough and rigorous. You won't get by with a thing. If your work passes inspection, fine. If it doesn't, your part of the building will be torn out and started over again. But you won't be torn out. You'll survive, but just barely. You may make it. You may make it through all the hardships, but let me just tell you, it didn't have to be that way. If you just built according to his pattern. So everything that we build is to, at the end of the day, reflect heavenly realities. I hope you're getting something from this today. I know this is a little heavy, and I'm jumping around a little bit today differently. But everything God desires for us to build here is to be a reflection of the eternal, a reflection of heaven itself, a copy and a shadow of heavenly realities. I mean, we see this motivation in Jesus teaching his disciples to pray in Matthew 6, verse 10, pray this way, my kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven, that whatever comes here, whatever is your experience here should look like heaven. It should look like heaven. If the presence of God is first, the kingdom is first, and guides our principles and patterns we are building for or from on as eternity, we are building to reflect the kingdom. I want to go to Hebrews for a second. I want to jump there. I'm almost done. Just bear with me. This is a really important word I feel in my heart this morning. And I want us to really get something from this as we leave today, moving into this 2026 more intensely. Because some of you are going to face some hardship, and you have to know how to navigate through it and build through it. In Hebrews chapter 8, I want to actually start off in, well, I'll read that the three verses here for you. I'm not going to give you too much context because I'm running out of time here. But really, at the end of the day, what he's speaking to is the supremacy of Christ and how the old system of the old covenant has been done away with, has become obsolete, that Jesus came as the new high priest to make all things new. And it says in verse 3 in chapter 8, for every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. Therefore, it is necessary that this one also have something to offer. Speaking of Jesus, and he offered his life. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest. And the reason why it says that is because all priests under the old covenant were of the tribe of Levi, and he wasn't. He was of the tribe of Judah. So the Bible actually calls him of the order of Melchizedek, which is a picture of God himself, which we won't get into as well. But he was of a different line, a heavenly priesthood. So he was unique, and he came out to offer us the gift and the sacrifice that, like the priest did, a one-time gift and a sacrifice, you know, in the temple. He came and offered a sacrifice for all humanity that would shroud all humanity, okay? It says, listen to verse 5. It says here, who serve the copy and shadow, speaking of the priests on the earth, who serve the copy, speaking of the tabernacle, okay, the high priest going into the tabernacle, all the things that were designed based upon what God showed Moses on the mountain, which ended up becoming a temple, which is what he's referring to, but he's also referring back to Exodus 25. He says this, who serve the copy and the shadow of heavenly things. What does that say? Everything that has been built by God should showcase or demonstrate heavenly things. It's a copy and a shadow. As Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, see that you make all things. This is a callback to Exodus 25, verse 40. See that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. Why? Because it's a copy and a shadow of eternity. This is what we are called to. That word pattern literally means something that's struck repeatedly, or a model that's forged by repetition. Think about patterns in your life. What are patterns in your life? Something that you do over and over again, right? Building according to God's pattern isn't a one-time deal. It's something you do over and over and over again. Over and over and over again. Over and over. It's repetition. You strike repeatedly. It means the correct paradigm based on reliable precedent, a reliable precedent for others then to follow. Because what you're building, other people will build their life off of. It's the testimony of your lifestyle. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I built a life on the cornerstone. You should follow me as I follow Christ. Build according to the pattern. There are people in your life that are modeling kingdom for you. As a mentor, as a leader, build according to what you see. Because you're asking God, how do I get the blueprint? How do I get the pattern? Look around you. There are people that are doing it right. Look to the Word. Pray. Seek His face. He will show you. I don't know if you believe that, but He will show you. Live a life according to what God has spoken to you, and you will build the life that you were called to build. Paul said this, and I'm going to close with this, I think. Paul said to Timothy, his spiritual son, he said this, powerful words. This is what we call, by the way, topical preaching. I'm jumping around between different verses, and I'm kind of like connecting all the dots for you. But in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, Paul, the apostle, who was a spiritual father to his son Timothy, who was leading a church, he was a young pastor, a young shepherd, young leader, young-ish anyways, and he speaks to him like a son. He says, Timothy, my son, here are my instructions for you. Think of it like this. Here are my laws, my regulations. Kind of put Paul in the place of God for a second. Paul, God calling Moses to a mountain. I'm going to give you some instructions to govern your people. Paul says to Timothy, I'm going to give you instructions to govern the people you're shepherding. Listen to what he says. He says, based on what? Based on the prophetic words spoken about you earlier. These instructions are being given to you based upon the revelation of the blueprint that has already been given to you through the prophetic words when people laid their hands on you and prophesied about your future. Did you hear that? Based on prophetic words. So listen to this. This is what I'm trying to say to you right now. There are things that God has already spoken to you that will then guide and gird the instructions God wants to give you so you could build according to the pattern God's calling you to build by. Think about all the words that you've been given over the last like 10 years, 15 years, 5 years, 2 years. Has somebody prayed for you? Has somebody spoken life over you, prophesied over you? Have you had a dream from God? You feel like this is what God's called you to. Know that because of that, there is going to be instructions that come to you that are in direct reference to that word, to that promise, because God wants you to build according to his pattern to reach the destiny and destination that God's called you to reach. So we need to seek God. We need to pursue God. Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. How do we get the patterns? By seeking God, putting him first. To seek is it means to inquire, to investigate, to reach a binding terminal resolution, to search until you get to the bottom of the issue, to find out what is, to seek him out, to make him first. To seek him first is to seek him with whatever you do and whatever you have. And if you do that, you'll get the pattern. You'll get the blueprint. I promise you this is, I want to close with this. You guys stand up with me. Last verse I want to read. I was talking to somebody this week, and I was encouraging them, just even in their job, to look at everything that you've been given as an opportunity to worship. Whether it's your job, whether it's your marriage, whether it's your relationships, your friendships, your family, you have an opportunity to worship in all those areas. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, listen to what Paul says to the believers at Colossae. He says this, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Whatever you do. Did he say, work at it with all your heart only when you love your job and you're obsessed with it? Did he say only if you love that person and she's your favorite person in the world? No, whatever you do in life, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. As, listen to this, working for the Lord, not for human masters. If you could get a revelation that your job, that who you're working for, is not that bad manager, that jerk of a manager, that jerk of a foreman, if you could get a revelation that who you're working for is God, you will promote yourself because people will see your honor. Because if you're just working for people, guess what? Chances are you'll work harder when they're around and not work as hard when they're not around. But when you're working for God, who is always around, you'll do your best all the time, and all the time is what's promoted, not sometime. Listen to what it says here, verse 24. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward by working at whatever you're doing with all your heart, it is the Lord Christ who? That you're serving. If you have this mentality, you are seeking God first. And when you seek God first, you set yourself up to hear and recognize the blueprints that you're called to have to build the life you're called to build. Some of us are asking, how do we seek God? It's not just in your prayer closet. It's not just in your car when you're alone. It's not just putting the worship music on. It's in whatever you do, you're putting him first. God will reward you by giving you what you need for the next season because you did good in this season. But God will not promote you to the next season if you suck in this season because you complain, you grumble, because that's what killed the Israelites. 40 years in a wilderness. It should have been 3 weeks, maximum 10, 12, 14 days. And they died because they grumbled and complained. Because they didn't continue to seek God in the journey, they sought self. They complained, they grumbled. They wished they were back in Egypt, and they died. They did. A whole generation died never seeing the promised land because they had a bad attitude. They stopped seeking God, making him first, and so they could not get what they needed to move into the next season. I want you to close your eyes. God, I thank you for everybody in this room listening right now. I know this is a little bit of a heavy word this morning, but I just pray that you would initiate in us. Come on, initiate in us, God, right now. right now. Initiate in us a desire to put you first. Initiate in us a desire to make you number one. Initiate in a desire in us to build our life according to your patterns. I pray right now across this room that you would speak to us. I believe God is going to speak to you today, this morning, before you leave, tonight, as you go to bed. I believe God's going to show you some of the areas of your life where you've not built according to the pattern. You built according to you and not him. I believe God's going to reveal it tonight, today, possibly even this week. If you're open, I believe God is going to show you where you've maybe missed it, not to condemn you, not to shame you, but to course correct you so you don't keep repeating the patterns of the world that are bringing destruction into your life, but now you move into a new pattern season, a new pattern making season, patterned after his plans, his purposes in your life. And so, Holy Spirit, I'm asking for everybody in this room for divine direction. Bring us to the mountain, metaphorically. Bring us to the mountain and show us what it is that you want us to do in this season. God, I pray for everybody in this room that has not opened their lives to Jesus. You're in this room for a reason, and I just don't want you to leave without giving you an opportunity. Maybe you're in this room, somebody brought you, it's your first time. God wants to speak to you today. Coming here is like coming to a mountain to hear God. It's like coming to a mountain to like be in the presence of God, to hear God's instruction for you. Don't waste this moment. Don't waste this opportunity. God wants your heart. He wants your surrender. He loves you so much. He died on a cross over 2,000 years ago to give his life for you, to rid you and destroy that sin nature in your life. And he resurrected on the third day to give you new life. The Bible says if you confess him as Lord and believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead on the third day, you will be saved. It's a simple just opening of the heart to say, God, I receive your forgiveness today. I receive what Jesus did. I believe what Jesus did. I believe he's Lord. There's no other God than him. He is the one way, truth, and life. There's no other way to the Father except through him. He is the bridge between heaven and earth. I accept that reality today, and I believe that he was raised from the dead on the third day. Today, I'm making a decision to invite him into my life to become leader and Lord of my life. If that's you, I want to encourage you to open up your heart and say, God, I receive your forgiveness today. I believe you are Lord. I confess you as Lord. I confess that you, in fact, were raised to new life on the third day to give me new life. And today I'm making a decision to walk after you, walk with you, to follow after you, to let you lead my life. I'm sick of leading my life. I want you to lead my life. If you made that decision, if you opened up your heart to that, it's the most important decision you'll have ever made up until this point. I can guarantee you that. And I want to make sure you have an opportunity to talk to somebody before you leave today. Maybe in the lobby, talk to one of our team members. Tell them that you've made that decision today. We have our ministry team here at the front, and I want to invite you, if you need prayer for anything this morning, healing in your body, healing in your soul, struggling, maybe you built a life that's dysfunctional, and you're like, God, okay, now how do I fix this now? My relationship is in shambles. How do I fix this now? We'd love to pray with you before you leave, but just as we transition here, I love it if you could just close your eyes for one last moment. Just no distraction. Don't look at me. Don't look at the stage. Just close your eyes for one last moment here for a second. Holy Spirit, right now, for everybody with their eyes closed, I just pray that you would bring something to mind right now. I want you to make this practical for us this morning. Bring something to mind right now that we need to shift, that has become a bad pattern of thinking, pattern of a way of living. Bring something to mind right now. Whatever he brings to mind right away often is the thing he wants you to focus on right now. That's the thing he's highlighting for a reason. Now, let me give you a promise. If you make Jesus first, he'll help you break that thing. He'll help you build new patterns. He'll move that thing out of the way. So, God, we give you opportunity now to deal with that thing on our behalf. Come on, just say it out loud. God, we give you opportunity right now to deal with that thing, to deal with that pattern, to superimpose your pattern over that pattern that's brought dysfunction in my life, that's brought hurt and pain in my life. God, superimpose your patterns, your plan, your heavenly eternity. Put it over that thing right now. In Jesus' name. Come on, let's worship as we close. Let's just worship. If you need prayer, please, I'd love to invite you down to the front for anything.
Thank you, Pastor Sean. What an incredible message.